Mike Tegubin, hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm so thankful that you've turned the radio dial to join us for a few moments of fellowship around the truth of God's Word. And we invite you to get your Bible or New Testament and turn with us to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, where we're continuing our study concerning this amazing scripture, this amazing prophecy that we found in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, this remarkable and amazing prophecy, one of the first prophecies given in the Word of God, and I will put enmity, this is God speaking, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, speaking of Satan, and thou shalt bruise his heel, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's power was bruised. As you know, if you've ever dealt with snakes, you know that a snake will not die if you just cut off some of its tail. You have to cut off its head in order to kill it. And so the bruising of the head meant that Satan's power would be taken away from him, and that the heel of the seed of the woman meant that Christ's heel, his earthly walk in his physical body, would be ended by Satan when he was crucified on the old rugged cross of Calvary. This was the prophecy that was made. And so we're reading about the fulfillment of this prophecy in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. The angel Gabriel has appeared to Mary, this young virgin maid, perhaps a teenager, has told her that she's the chosen one through which the Emmanuel will come into the world. And Mary submits to the will of God. She doesn't fight or question or struggle, but she submits to the will of God. She goes to the hill country of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is the wife of one of the priests of Israel, who has ministered in the temple in Jerusalem. And an angel had appeared to Zacharias and told him that he and Elizabeth would have a child in their old age. And Zacharias didn't believe it, and so he was struck dumb until the time that the baby was born. And so we see that Mary has come to visit Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, the babe leaps in Elizabeth's womb for joy. And Elizabeth, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, begins to speak to Mary and confirm to Mary that she is indeed with child by the Holy Spirit of God, and that this child will be the Messiah, the promised one. And so she says here that this one will be the Lord, verse 43, Luke 1:43, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And thus we see God always keeps his word. Beloved, you can trust the word of God. And notice what Mary says in verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Oh yes, beloved, holy is his name. And so Mary is now with child. The child is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is being developed into a physical body in Mary's body, being shaped into a baby in Mary's body. A marvelous and wonderful passage of Scripture. And thus we see how that the Lord is at work in and through all of this wonderful, wonderful event that's taking place. Now, if you will go with me to the book of Matthew, I want you to notice again what transpires and the human element involved in this wonderful, wonderful event. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, we see what's going on with Joseph, who is engaged to Mary. When he finds out that Mary is with child, you know his natural response. He thinks Mary, he knows, has been away. She's been in the hill country. He thinks that Mary has been involved with some other man and is with child by some other man. And so notice what he says and what the Scripture records. Verse 18 of Matthew 1, first book of the New Testament, Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together. I want you to notice that statement. In your Bible, you might underscore that and circle it. Before they came together. It means before they had any sexual involvement with each other. Before they were united in marriage and before they had any sexual union. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that is, he was a righteous man, he was a godly man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. That is, to make a public example meant that Mary would be stoned to death. She would be brought before the leaders of Israel, and they would have her stoned to death, because that was the law of God, that a woman that committed fornication or adultery was to be stoned to death. And so he loved her. He did not want to see her put to death and made brought into public shame and disgrace. And so he was thinking about breaking off the engagement and quietly putting away the engagement. This was his plan. But in verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so the angel tells Joseph, this is a supernatural birth, just as Mary has told you, and you did not believe her, it seemed impossible to you. God verifies to Joseph that this is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, meaning Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and this was the prophet Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He took Mary to be his wife, and knew her not. That is, they had no sexual union till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, beloved, that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God who came in human form that he might go to an old rugged cross to die for the sins of the world. Remember the statement that we read there in the book of Genesis? Remember what the Lord God said as he was talking there in the Garden of Eden? He said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Speaking about the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. that is, the seed of the woman, would end and stop the devil's power over men. You see, beloved, when a man does not know when a person is born, they're born a sinner, born in sin and in trespasses. That's our condition when we enter into the world. We're spiritually separated from God. And in our spirit, we're dead. We have physical life, but we do not have spiritual life. Spiritually speaking, we're dead. Remember, man is a triune being, spirit, soul, and body, made in the likeness and image of God. The spirit of man, like the spiritual part, the spirit of God, the soul of man, having to do with emotions and feelings, and having to do with God the Father, and the physical body, a picture of the body of Jesus Christ, who came in physical form to redeem man from sin. Thus we see man is a triune being. And when he is born spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin, because he has the same sinful nature that Adam had. You remember when Adam disobeyed God there in the Garden of Eden, he died spiritually speaking, and thus was separated from God and put out of the Garden of Eden, lest he eat of the tree of life and live forever in his sinful condition. And so we see that when Adam died, the whole human race died spiritually in their relationship to God. Remember the illustration, if my grandfather had died, I would not be here today. If he had died when he was 3 days old, I would not be here today. I would have died in my grandfather when he died. So the same thing is true of what happened to Adam. When he died, the whole human race died in their relationship to God. And that's why every baby that's born is born spiritually dead and separated from God. And that's why all have sinned, because we all have that nature, that sinful nature that we received from our great-grandfather Adam. That's why we need a Savior. Because all of us have sinned, and God is holy and without sin and must judge sin. And that's why Jesus Christ died in your place and in my place as our substitute, that if we would believe in him and accept the fact that he died for us, was buried, and arose from the grave, we might be saved. We might be delivered from the bondage of sin. We might be made righteous, pure, and clean, and holy, and given the gift of salvation and eternal life. Till next time, goodbye.